Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. We was doing the reciting the verses this morning, for those of you that remembered it, and I'm not saying what I'm going to say next is I'm saying to myself first because I haven't said it yet since Matt started this. But I was thinking about a story that I heard. That there was a missionary who went over to China. Maybe many of you heard this. But they was in a room. Oh, I don't know how many people was there. Maybe 20 or 30. And not everybody had a Bible because of, you know, the way things are over there. And the particular scripture that they was studying that morning, one of the ladies gave up her Bible to someone else that didn't have one because she had remembered the whole, not just that chapter, but the whole book. And how they learned that is, then he asked a question. He goes, well, what happens if we get caught here today? And they said, you get deported for 24 hours, but we'll go to prison for a minimum of 3 years. And she said, that's how I learned my scripture. She says, we just sit there and recite and recite and read until we memorize everything. So I had to think that we live in a country where most people have two Bibles. And yet on Sunday morning, it's hard for me to learn the scripture, you know. That might go a little bit with what I was going to share today. I was going to share a little bit about some things that I struggle with in my life. Talk about the word worry. I'm getting this out of Matthew 6, what Matthew 6 says there, verse 25 to 34. You know, if we would, talking about learning Bible verses, how much less would we worry if we was traveling down the road in our van or putting metal on the side of a building or putting shingles on or whatever we do, cabinet shop, if we was reciting verses in our mind instead of worrying about what we're going to do, you know, whether maybe we're, if we have work tomorrow or if we have enough food to eat or whatever it is. You know, I know we live in a land of plenty, but yet it seems like if the refrigerator and the freezer isn't packed and we don't have 6 weeks worth of work, why, we start thinking about, you know, what we're going to do next. And then it works right the other way. Then all of a sudden we're too busy and we wonder how we're going to catch up. So it's just a crazy how the devil, he gets our mind rolling about just things down here to the point that we forget. A little bit like the Israelites going through the wilderness. I have some of that wrote down here, but I'll share a little bit of it right now. They saw all the miracles of the 10 plagues. You know, they seen all that. And yet, they knew God could do it. But when they ran out of water, what'd they do? You know, sure, they complained. But first of all, they had to think about it. And then it became a thought in their mind that they just couldn't get out of their head. What are we going to do about water? So anyways, in the past several months, I've heard a few different messages here and there, and I don't have that much to share here, but there was a song that was sung this morning that stuck out to me too with this portion that I'm going to share on 878. The first verse says, "Come, come, ye saints, no toil nor labor fear, but with joy wend your ways, though hard to you the journey may appear. Grace shall be as your day. We have a living Lord to guide, and we can trust him to provide. Do this and joy, your hearts will swell. All is well, all is well." And I thought, amen, if we could just meditate on God instead of our the things on this earth. And anyways, as you know, I was driving down the road the other day just thinking a little bit, and I was a little gloomy, and I was just thinking about some things, and all of a sudden I thought, what am I doing? you know, I'm meditating, and my mind, I'm thinking about the things of this earth. And I thought about what a guy said, what I heard a man preach. He said, when we're worrying, we're worshiping the devil. That sounds very rough, I understand. But when we're meditating about the things of this, of our problems in our life, we're not meditating on God. Who are we meditating on? You know what? The devil knows right where to get us, so that we, you know, we and then what do? We complain, and just all kinds of stuff that goes with it. Then we meditate on the wrong things, you know, instead of on God that can actually fix our problems. And then another thing, I heard another message, and then this is a part that stuck out to me. He said to worry about things we can't change is useless. And to worry about things that we can change is stupid. And I know that's a strong word, but think about something that, and so I have a little story here. We had a big tree in our front yard. And no, I didn't sit there and this thing didn't consume my thoughts. But every time we had a windstorm, I thought that tree's gonna blow down. Because one day the children said that when a windstorm came through, I wasn't there. They said that tree was shaking so bad the ground was moving underneath it. So I knew that one day it was gonna come down. And so, you know, how much easier would have it been just to call some friends or neighbors or a tree guy and just cut the tree down and get rid of the problem? So, you know, but lo and behold, we had a storm. Good thing it came from the west. It did go across the power line, but it just pulled it out of the fascia. James came along and he hooked it back up for me. So it didn't unhook the wires, but just the little eyelet that held it up there. But if it would have come from the south, it would have landed on the one corner of the house, and then we'd had it could have been a major catastrophe. But you know, just some of those things in our life that we can think about that you know, every now and then or sometimes we worry about it. Just if you can fix it, fix it. But if not, then give it to God. Don't worry about it. Because, you know, there are some things in the past that happen in our life that, you know, we want to go back and we want to beat ourselves for it, you know, and we keep thinking about it. But, you know, if restitution has been made and you know, we have asked God to forgive us or whatever it might have been, you know, it's useless to think about it. Think about God. And you know, there's a difference, and I'm not saying that there's a difference between, you know, worrying about something or planning ahead. You know, there's just like couples nights coming up, so we got together with Willie and Dan, and we planned for that night. But how foolish would it be for us to just wait until March 14th and figure out what we're going to do that night, you know. And then that's procrastination. And sometimes procrastination causes worry because there's things that we can do to eliminate those very things. And I have a verse here, you know, in 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. And we're worrying. And when we are worrying, we're definitely not at peace. So you know, God, He can give us that peace. You know, there is a rest for the children of God. The Bible talks about. And you know, there's I understand. There's a lot deeper. You know, worry causes anxiety and depression. And I know there's a lot deep. You know, you could go into this here. There's guys that have, you know, done studies on what happens. You know, people get sick. You know, they get stomach ulcers. It can be some major issues. The annual spending on medication in the USA alone is $18.4 billion a year, roughly $1,374 per adult. So, you know, it is a big thing. And to think, you know, I was talking to Samuel a little bit yesterday. He came over and hooked up my mini split in my new garage. And he was just telling me a little bit about some things that are going on in the East, the Middle East there with Israel and the war and things. And I just had to think, you know, we live in a country where we really have about anything we want. We don't have to worry about missiles, bombs, you know, people trying to shoot us and just all kinds of stuff. So really, what do we have to worry about? You know, those people, they wake up in the morning and all night long, all day long, just there's just thunderous rockets and, you know, shooting and carrying on, people dying. So it's just a terrible thing. So really, what do we have to, what does this country really have to worry about? And I just have a little bit of, I was also thinking, and as me and Samuel was talking, we were just talking about some different things, and we kind of got on this subject. And he said, you know, that it is, we're human. So, you know, there's things we're going to think about. There's things we're going to worry about. And then he mentioned, what about Abraham? And I thought a little bit. I wasn't trying to sure where he was going at, but then it hit me. You know, when Abraham went to that one country, let me just go there. It was in Genesis 20. He went to that one country there, and he must have been thinking about this as he was traveling, because he come up with the idea that he's going to tell the king that Sarah is his sister, because what he was afraid of, he said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and thou wilt slay me for my wife's sake. So, you know, sometimes those things can make us say things that ain't right, do things that ain't right. Now, he didn't say an all-out lie, but it was a half-truth. Because, and I never read all this before, but she was his half-sister. From what this says, because it says, she is my sister, she is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. So, you know, but still, Abraham was a man counted for righteousness. And he knew what God could do. But yet, in his weak moment, he had a thought that wasn't good, made him do this and lie to that king. But you know, if you read it all there, you know, through a dream, God showed that man that, you know, you should not sleep with Sarah, because Sarah is Abraham's wife. And anyways, you can read the story there then. And then to the Israelites, I was going to read a little bit in Exodus 17, verse 3. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. After they journeyed according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and they murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us out of Egypt, to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people that are almost ready to stone me? And then we can go back in our life. We can remember what God pulled us from. You know, the sin that we was in. You know, we had to leave our families there for some time, and it seems like things are getting better now than what they used to. But when we look back and remember what all God delivered us from, and you know, the Israelites, what they were delivered from, they were delivered from the Egyptians. They seen all the miracles of the 10 plagues. They seen the Red Sea. They had the Red Sea crossing. They seen the water separate for them to get across. They had a cloud to follow by day and a fire of pillar at night. And yet they obviously sat around and worried and complained about food and water. You know, and it seemed, and it seems like sometimes we, and you know, as I was sitting in my seat, I was sitting there thinking, you know, I was kind of nervous. Was I worrying? You know, how was it going to go up here? What was I going to say? Were the words going to come out right? But yet it seems like sometimes when things are not in our control, we can tend to worry real quick because, you know, we can't, so to speak, grab the bull by the horns because, you know, we're used to a people that we want to, you know, if it kind of gets out of our hands, you know, we tend to worry and complain. And I keep using them words together. I think, you know, when we worry, we don't have contentment. We have unbelief. We complain. I mean, just everything that goes with it together. And then I heard another sermon here that I wrote part of it down here. If we want God to give us strength so we can fly like an eagle, if we want God to change the weakness for his strength so we can run like an athlete, do you want God to infuse you with his mighty power so that day by day you can walk and not faint? And then he asked the question, you know, if we're in that state of mind, worrying, why would God want to give us more strength to serve the devil? To wait upon God means to long for him, to listen to him, to look to him, to live for him. Don't say that won't work, because if you do, you're calling God a liar. Because in Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And that is totally the opposite of, we've often heard the term worried sick. You know, that is totally the opposite. God will give, we'll renew our strength. If we meditate on him. And I'm not sharing this because I think there's a problem here. It's just sometimes a struggle in my life, so I'm sharing this to me first. But, you know, life is real, and if we're not careful, we can go down the road of worry quicker than what we think. And I just have another couple verses here. And then I asked three of my favorite singers to come up here and sing a song for me. I was going to sing today, but I lost my voice about 2 weeks ago, and I still don't have all of it back. We have a mediator. It says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is Jesus Christ. And I'll just close with these verses, and then they can come up and sing that song, Consider the Lilies. I did forget to read something here. I was going to read Matthew 6 in the Amplified. Matthew 6, 25 to the end. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, as to what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow seed, nor reap the harvest, nor gather the crops, nor gather the crops into the barns. And yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. And are you not worth much more than they? That's a good question for all of us. And who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to the length of his life? And why are we worried about clothes? See how the lilies and the wildflowers of the field grow? They do not labor, nor do they spin wool to make clothing. And you know, he's talking about clothing and food and different things like that. We all have plenty of those. So just put in there whatever, you know, whatever that might bother us, whatever we might be thinking about every day. But if God so clothes the clothed grass of the field, which is alive and green today and tomorrow, is cut and thrown as fuel into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, perpetually uneasy, distracted, saying, what are we going to eat, or what are we going to drink, or what are we going to wear? For the pagan Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, but do not worry, for your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and character of God, and these things will be given to you also. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I'm going to read that one verse there in the King James Version where we're used to hearing it. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we meditate on God and not our troubles. All these things will be added to us. And I'll just close with Jude 1, 24 and 25. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So if you girls want to come up here and sing that song, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. You wanna turn this on?
Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin, but there's not a king with more splendor than them. Consider the sparrows, they don't plan nor sow, but they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine, who hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your